The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Acuma, its board of directors, its management staff, or its members. The podcast discussion presented is conversational in nature and for general information only.
Hello, and welcome to Acuma's On Point Podcast, a series focused on sharing the stories of people who are making a positive impact in the credit union mortgage industry. I'm your host, Peter Benjamin. A few weeks back, we had an opportunity to sit down with someone who I honestly hold in high regard, someone I think has been instrumental, not just in the credit union movement, but really Acuma in our community. And, and this person I'm really referring to is, Chris Cully, partner at Mayer Brown. Now, I loved our conversation. And Justin, I'm gonna pull you in. We talked to her, like I said, a few weeks back. We focused on her involvement with women in housing and finance, that sense of community and really her vision for not just, WHFs as a whole, but also the foundation. And what were your thoughts on the episode?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. It was great to hear her thoughts on women in housing and finance and everything that she's done for that organization, everything she continues to do. And then for us as well, I mean, she's a fan favorite. She's a friend of Acuma. I mean, she brings so much to our industry as well. And so it's just always great to hear from her and, what she's up to as well.
Right. And, friend of Acuma, she's a regular on various webinars and at our in-person events. And I guess that's probably the best segue to really my question I always ask you, but really, what's the latest and greatest happening over at Acuma?
The latest and greatest. I love that question because busy is always my response, but I think that's kind of an understatement.
Oh, yeah.
So right now we're about 3 weeks away from heading to Nashville for our first focal point workshop. I'm super excited. Nashville's my hometown, so it's always nice to get to go back and see how much it truly has changed since I grew up there.
Nash Vegas, if you're fancy.
Nash Vegas, it's catching on. I'm telling you, it's going to catch on. And then after that, in June, we're heading to Denver for our second focal point workshop, which will be on the 11th and 12th. And so if you haven't registered for either of those events, there's still plenty of time. Seats are filling up. Don't wait. These are events that you don't want to miss. If you've never heard Peter say it, these are by far his favorite events and why he fell in love with Acuma. Yep. So you definitely got to come out and see what is so special about those events.
I tell you what, brother, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I know. Right after that, we're going to have a little hiatus. We'll have a lot of virtual webinars, inside tracks, fast tracks.
Podcast.
We'll continue with our podcast episodes. That's exactly right. Before we head to the beautiful and luxurious Las Vegas for our Make Your Mark annual conference this year, which is going to be held September 29th to October 2nd. Their registration is opening. It opened yesterday. So make sure that you go register for that event. It's a little earlier this year, but we have such of an incredible lineup. We just couldn't keep it a secret any longer. Right, we had to get it out there.
Right. We did that, the whole classic soft opening in April, with the big blowout opening and all the big push coming in June. So it's going to be good. So really excited for our annual conference, the Make Your Mark conference. It's going to be absolutely fantastic in Vegas.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you got to come to Peter's first annual that he got to put on with Acuma, and you got to see the Elvis come out.
Have a few more surprises.
Yeah, we only did more in DC. And so if you can imagine more we did in DC, what we have in store for you guys this year, you don't want to miss them.
That's right. Well, my man, thank you very much for that. Really do appreciate it. Anyways, again, We really hope you enjoy this our conversation with Chris Cully. It's a fantastic episode. And again, couldn't be more appreciative of everything that Chris does for us in our community. Anyways, hope you enjoy it.
Today's episode is being brought to you by Blue Loans.
Blue Loan's Secondary Manager platform is a comprehensive control center for your rate lock and secondary market activity. With Secondary Manager, you don't need a secondary expert to consistently maximize your gain on sale. Blue Loan's Secondary Simplified. Chris Cully, how are you doing today?
Hi, Peter. I'm great. Thanks so much for letting me join in.
No. Thank you for joining us today. Now, personally, I'm really excited. You know, I'm excited to talk to you because you're one of my favorite people in our industry. And for me personally, you've been very impactful and helpful through my time as president of Acuma. And here's why. You know, 2 years ago. So actually, you know, here we are, mid-March. And just 2 weeks ago, I celebrated my two-year anniversary with Acuma as president. And so let's look back 2 years. It was March 7th, 2022. You know, I had just started. And my first event, and it wasn't in person. And I've already said in the past that my first in-person event as president was a workshop in Nashville. But my first actual event was a virtual webinar, one what we currently call Fast Tracks, formerly known as Lightning Rounds. My first event, 3 weeks after I started, was a lightning round with you. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had no idea where to start, how the flow of things were going to go. I had seen a few of these webinars in the past, but no idea what to do. And honestly, you were amazing. You walked me through the topic. You walked me through the flow of things. You even wrote my initial script, which admittedly is the foundation for how all my scripts for these fast tracks are run right now. So you were instrumental in, and I'll say, my initial success as president. So I'm very appreciative of you, but also every single time we call upon you, whether it's for an in-person event, a webinar, or even this podcast, you're always quick to answer. So having you here, and I'm actually shocked we haven't had you on sooner, but having you here, being a one of our special guests on this podcast, means a great deal to me personally, but I know to our members, because you've been very impactful to our members. So excited that you're here.
Well, thanks so much. And I do remember that. And it was a lot of fun. And I've always enjoyed all my involvement with Acuma. Just all of your members, all of your team are fantastic. And as you know, I'm an avid listener to your podcast.
Yes.
And I've learned a lot from it, and I've always appreciated how you talk about the credit union movement as a movement, and I'm excited to be part of it to the extent I can. So thanks for having me.
Of course. So, you know, here we are mid-March, you know, just a few days ago was International Women's Day. So I want to have a conversation, you know, based around something I know you're passionate about. But before we kind of dive into that conversation about, you know, your involvement in really women in housing finance, I this is very much a podcast that focuses on the people piece, the human factor, right? So if you could, you know, although you're a familiar face, you're a familiar voice within our association, do me a favor, you know, kind of walk us through who you are. So who is Chris Cully?
Oh, well, let's go back to the beginning.
I love it. I love when people do that. Let's do that. Let's go all the way back. It was a cold winter's night.
Right. I was walking uphill in the snow.
No, that's right. Backwards.
Right. But I am a little surprised at how fast the years have gone. So I've been in this kind of mortgage law realm for almost 30 years now. And I'll bring it to your point in just a second. But right out of law school, my first job, I came to Washington, D.C., and I worked in the legal department of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. You know, I was thrilled. It's not really easy to get jobs at government agencies. You might think it is, but it was challenging. So I was thrilled to work there. But I admittedly didn't know anything about HUD. I had no idea what it did. So my job was to jump right in. I drafted regulations for all sorts of HUD programs, which, as your listeners know, you know, runs the gamut. There are funded programs like housing assistance programs, community development block grant funds, FHA mortgage insurance, but also kind of high finance things. Ginnie Mae at the time, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So obviously I learned a lot. learned a ton about affordable housing infrastructure, but also, as I mentioned, sort of, you know, high finance things about the secondary mortgage market and mortgage-backed securities. So that is, you know, fascinating. But I came upon this group called the Women in Housing and Finance. And it's a DC group, which I could tell you all about. But at the time, I thought, well, you know, I'm a woman and in housing and finance, this is perfect. I found my tribe. These are my people. So it is an organization largely DC based of women professionals, also men, who at the time, 45 years ago, prior, believe it or not, prior to my entrance into the industry, but they found that they were not invited to be in the professional organizations that were arranged around, you know, housing and finance activities. So they started this group. It's grown over the years. It's somewhat high profile, if I can beat its drum for a minute. They have professional development activities, networking activities. There's an associated foundation that works with organizations, and as you know, we're in DC. So organizations in DC, Maryland, and Virginia to address homeless issues, financial literacy. And it's been fantastic. I mean, the best part is I've been able to meet a lot of people. I you know, I got to hang out with Janet Yellen, and sure, I got to meet Dodd and Frank. You know, I don't know if they remember me as well as I remember them.
I'm sure they do.
It certainly has sort of given me a broad exposure to the whole industry.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You're past president of Women in Housing Finance, but you're the current president at 2024 president for the Women in Housing Finance Foundation, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And as I mentioned, we have the foundation is just very close to my heart. We provide grants to certain organizations, but help our members provide volunteer activities, donation opportunities for really some of the important organizations kind of right here in our community. So we try to promote their activities and services, raise money and support them. So it's something that I, you know, feel strongly about. And
so for you, so is it appropriate if I call it WHF?
Please. Yeah.
Okay. So WHF for you, when you, as you were really starting your career off, now, how long into your career were you when you first came upon Women in Housing? Oh gosh.
So I was at HUD still. So, you know, again, I'm cringing at how many years have gone by. But that must
it's
have
okay.
been,
it's okay.
You know, 20 some plus years ago. And I remember it was the FHA commissioner who was speaking at this WHF event. And I work at HUD and I had not gotten to speak to the FHA commissioner. So it was just a cool outlet. But yes, please go on.
All right. So, you know, 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
You stumble across, you know, this association, this group. And it provided you with a way to relate to, you know, the fellow members, you know, to be one active in housing finance, right? And if I can I take a step back, right? One, I think that's an important note, right? I kind of hinted at it, but I want to make sure I say it again. You've been very instrumental in my personal success as president. You've been very instrumental as someone who is a thought leader, who's willing to share your knowledge, really everything that you have to offer to ACMA members throughout the course of the years, but also, you know, you've been very instrumental in the industry, the housing finance industry as a whole. And really you've really leveraged, you know, this platform through WHF to kind of help others, which I find absolutely amazing because it's our industry needs people who are willing to be a voice, one for leadership, but two for knowledge and really thought leadership. We really need those positive voices, regardless of who it is, regardless of where it comes from. We just continue to need those voices. And I kind of view you as one of them. So thank you very much for that. So coming back to WHF, you know, you found this platform that helps you out, right? Now, at what point in time were you like, I want to be more involved? There's more I can do to help other women, help our housing finance industry, whatever it is, right? Whatever that motivation was, because there had to be a motivation factor, right? At what point in time were you like, I'm done just being a member? You know, let me become more active. And really, again, you're the past president, former president of is it association or is it just like a networking group? What is it?
It's an association. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what kind of pushed you to say, hey, I'm going to raise my hand. I want to be president.
Well, you know, I don't know if it was one single thing, but I have found, and I imagine it's true with your members, is this, I mean, housing finance is so fascinating and it's just so complex. But what I have found, and getting back to kind of the women factor, is that there are a lot of women in this industry. And I think they've found that, you know, obviously they're very smart. They've been able to kind of be leaders in this industry. It's true of several industries, but I think particularly in the mortgage industry, it's been an area where women have shown that, you know, they have the smarts to sort of be leaders here. And so, you know, I guess that just sort of swept me up. You know, I do think there's a thought that, do we need these women specific organizations anymore? Isn't it all okay now? Haven't we all, you know, achieved whatever kind of equality there is? And, you know, to some degree, I think that's true. But the fact remains that, like, women are fun and they're smart and they have a lot of cool things to say. And so I think that's when I just realized, like, whether it's necessary or critical, it's at least fun. And we enjoy getting to know all the breadth of professions in this industry and finding out what everybody has to offer. So I guess that's when I just realized, like, you know, I want to join this fun crowd.
No, I like it. Now, is it a group that's focused more so on networking education, or they also do some form of advocacy as well?
No advocacy, definitely a nonpartisan group. In fact, we definitely strive to, not be adversarial or advocacy oriented, but it's professional development, networking, and, you know, foundation work.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So, I mean, I know that, you know, through this, you can just look at their LinkedIn page, right? Education tends to be a big component to it, right? And it's not just any type of education. You guys are getting some big hitters in DC to come talk to your group. Admittedly, you know, as the president of Acuma, you know, I'm jealous.
You want to come talk?
No. I'll always come talk. But no, it's more of a, the names that you get, that's what I'm really jealous of. I was like, man, you guys get some really awesome people, some people that I would just sit there and my jaw would be on the ground just listening to them talk. It's really quite impressive. I mean, and the information that you share with your members just through them, through those speakers, really quite impressive, truly.
It has been really fun. And, you know, and as you know, it kind of feeds on itself. So then our members want to join and then speakers want to come because they know we have a big interested membership. So it has been on a strong trajectory. So that's good.
Now, you know, sticking with this, right, you know, it's, you know, as you think about, you know, let's kind of pivot to the foundation, right? Now, we'll kind of walk us through a bit more as your role as president of the foundation.
Well, I have, as president, I have a fantastic board, which I know Acuma knows, and we rely on our board quite a bit. Each member of our board is a liaison to one of the organizations with which we work. And if you're interested in learning more, we're online and you can learn more about it. But So the board and I, we try to plan ways to promote financial literacy. That's one of our big topics.
Can I pause you right there?
Yeah, please.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, because, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, whether it's at personal events or you know, that there are in-person events, or whether it's, I think you and I have talked about this, and I just listened to one of our podcasts the other day, you know, we'll say a pre-release recording. Financial literacy is probably one of the largest issues impacting our industry today? Yeah, you could argue interest rates. Yes, housing supply. There's a whole, you know, there's a gamut of different things, right? You know, income levels not properly reflecting the cost of to buy a home. Again, we can always go down those paths, but financial literacy to me has to be top three, right? And I'd love to learn more about, you know, those efforts that you guys are doing for, you know, that kind of that financial literacy, because we need more outlets. We need more resources out there. We need to promote them, because that's really the only way that this industry, our industry, whether it's credit union mortgage, whether it's housing finance, mortgage in general, credit unions, that's the only way we're going to get people to understand that, hey, even with a 7% interest rate, you can still buy a house now. This is how you do it, right? Or even this is also how we avoid repeating the things that occurred in late 2006, 2007, 2008 is through financial literacy. So kind of walk us, do me a favor. I hate to interrupt you, but I really want you to kind of pinpoint on that, those efforts.
Well, and I'm thrilled to talk about it, and I'm glad you brought it up. But for all the reasons you mentioned, it is critical. And so the WHF Foundation worked with entities like the FDIC to come up with a curriculum for some financial education. And, you know, it can be really complicated, as you say, to save up to buy a home. But, you know, some of the folks in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area need to maybe start at the step below that. Like, what does my credit score mean? How can I manage my credit score? How do people use my credit score to get an auto loan, a mortgage loan, to get an apartment? How can I distinguish my budgeting needs from my budgeting wants? You know, it sounds simple, but actually focusing on that can, as you say, help you understand where your money goes, how much money you need in order to afford, saving for an apartment or for a house, because all kinds of housing is expensive these days. But we even talk about like financial security in terms of like protecting your social security number and your identity, and how important that is, and identifying scams, so to speak. So we developed a curriculum that we've been able to use and roll out, and WHF members can use that curriculum to go and teach classes in some of these organizations, to just sort of start with some of the basics and build from there.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. So I interrupted you, and thank you very much for humoring me as I asked you to kind of expand upon financial literacy. But please kind of continue on, you know, the foundation, financial literacy, what else?
Well, some of our organizations, too, are focused on actual housing and supportive services. So, women who are victims of domestic violence and they, you know, need either temporary or sort of transitional housing. The organizations will also even, and this is something that I didn't realize, is sometimes women or families who are in a kind of domestic violence circumstance will decline to leave because of a pet. You might not, you know, you just might not think about the fact that that you can't leave your dog behind. Anyway, so one of our organizations offers not just transitional housing for humans, but helps to provide, you know, transitional shelter for the pets and the family. We also work with Trinity University, which is a DC, you know, based university. Mm-hmm. For educating women, and we provide a tuition grant to them because we really appreciate and support, again, the education of women. So
it kind of really runs the gamut, but it primarily focuses on education, whether it's, you know, through Trinity or financial literacy. That tends to be the primary purpose of the foundation. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, sticking with the foundation. So what is the next, what's the next evolution for the foundation? What's the next evolution for just general women in housing finance? You keep saying DC base or DC focus. Like, no, do you guys have, I mean, well, I guess I'm transitioning back to WHF.
Yeah.
Is the goal to kind of expand the network outside DC, or is it already there?
Well, we'd really like to, and we've heard from lots of women in other, you know, areas that would like to be a part of it or would like to maybe start their own. And we've tried to be, we've tried to respond to that. I mean, particularly since the pandemic, a lot of our programming, like our speaking luncheons, have been also offered virtually. So we certainly can allow some of that, and we've gotten better about that. And we've tried to kind of expand to like New York or, you know, there's Texas, Southern California. There are a lot of women in the housing and finance industries in those jurisdictions. We haven't quite succeeded in figuring out how to do it, but the one thing we can do is we offer you know, some membership costs and some programming that is available virtually. So, but largely we're kind of a DC thing, and we'd love to go back to kind of in-person events. And that's why it's been pretty geographic. So,
well, it makes sense if you really think about it, why DC tends to be the most successful when it comes to, you know, WHF, because if you think about it, HUD, FHFA, you know, NCUA, we could just keep going down the list, right? They're all here. You know, right. Fannie, Freddie, they're all here, right? Yeah, they have remote offices. Yes, you know, there's a lot of other organizations that probably want to participate in this, but again, they're all here, right? So it makes sense. A good platform, a good resource to come together and really talk, you know, talk similarly, right? On similar issues.
But so, any of your members out there who are listening, I mean, certainly reach out if there's something you see, you know, that interests you. We can try to make it available. So
I personally follow the association. Of course, I follow you. I follow the association on LinkedIn. I follow the foundation on LinkedIn. So it means you guys are pretty active on social media. So it's great seeing that, and you guys do a lot of good work. And again, I already said it once: the speakers you guys get. And, absolutely fantastic.
And men are welcome members as well. So
all right, good. Yeah. Don't be surprised if Justin just shows up to a happy hour.
You know what? I love foundation work. Like, we all know that.
I come
from the nonprofit world. So I everything you've been saying, I've been just taking it in because I love what you guys are doing. It's such of a deeper meaning than just words on paper. And so it's really cool.
And it's a way to use some of, you know, all these years of whatever I've been doing. You know, you think you don't, or sometimes I think I don't have something to offer, but I do. And I've been able to kind of, you know, provide an avenue for that through the foundation. So come one, come all.
No, love it. Love it. All right. So thank you very much for walking us through that. You know, a few, you know, I guess one last question I have on, you know, it doesn't matter. It can be, you know, WHF, you know, or it can be the foundation. Really, what's the next evolution for you and the association and the foundation? What's that next evolution?
Well, we often work really hard to expand our membership. You know, we kind of took a hit. You know, I've been a lawyer through a couple financial crises, and that can affect our membership too. So we're always looking to expand our membership. So we're working on that, working on ways to provide relevant programming, relevant opportunities for volunteering, and more professional development. So, you know, what can we provide new members of the profession? You know, what do they need to really, you know, progress in their careers? And so that's part of it. And we're trying to, you know, raise money for our foundation. So we're thinking about golf events and, you know, congressional, you know, soirees.
Yeah, so. Justin and I are there.
Yeah, great.
You said golf. You said golf.
We're going to have there. A bake sale. No, we're not going to have a bake sale.
But I love
bake
sales.
We thought it would help us, though.
I mean, if you did, just bring some chocolate chip cookies.
No, I mean, everybody knows. The ACMA team knows. Like, there's really two holidays that I personally post on LinkedIn. It's Pi Day.
Pi Day.
I always post on LinkedIn on for Pi Day. I always create like this really nice graphic. I love Pi Day. And of course, you know, May 4th, because it's May the 4th be with you. Those are like the two. But so I love pie. So if you're going to bake goods, I'm there too all day long.
All right. Well, now that you guys have both put that out there, I guess it's time for me to get back to my oven. Get back to the kitchen since we're on.
No. See, now I want pie. Like, personally, like, I want pie.
Yeah, and so do I.
I wish I remember it. There was this little pie shop in McLean.
Oh.
That had made that. I don't want to say little pies because they're not little pies. Like they're big pies. Like these things are, they're not Costco sized pies. Everyone knows what the Costco sized pies are, which are really good, but they're like big pies. God, I wish I remember the name of it. They're not, I can't mention their name because they're not sponsoring us. So I won't do that. There you go, Justin. Right. Yeah. I see that face. But anyways, there's this pie shop in McLean that's really good. All right. So anyways, all right, cool. Chris, last question I have for you before we transition to the second segment. What motivates you? You know, what keeps you going? It's again, this is a conversation, you know, getting to know a little bit more about you. And, you know, we chose, you know, WHF and really the foundation because we know how passionate you are about our industry, how instrumental you are. You have been to our members and our industry as a whole, but something has to keep driving you. What keeps driving you every single day, one foot out of the bed? What kind of keeps motivating you?
Well, and again, I appreciate your comments. And, you know, to a certain extent, we're all just kind of tumbling through the weeks. But I do have to say that particularly when I was at HUD and throughout my career, I've met a lot of people who are super smart and who do a lot of really hard things and they keep at it, even though it's hard. So if I ever need any inspiration, I think about some of the, you know, the former leaders of those organizations that I've seen who just really stick with it, even though, you know, sometimes it's dispiriting, even though sometimes it seems like nothing good ever comes out. I can tell you that it does. And it's been really inspirational to me to see, again, people who continue to work hard, even though it seems difficult. So I guess that's what I aspire to, too, is just keep working at it, even if it, even if it seems difficult. So
no, that's fantastic. Just keep swimming, right?
Yeah, just keep swimming.
All right, fantastic. All right, so it's time to transition to the second segment. Yeah. My favorite segment of our podcast. I shouldn't say that. I love talking to our guests. I love talking to you. But ultimately, it's fun because this is our time to take a step back, you know, let's just have a little fun. Let's laugh. Let's make fun of Justin a little bit. Sorry, Justin.
That's what I'm here for.
No, it's comic relief. Every good talk show host or like late night host just has that shtick guy, right? They just have this guy who's just over in the corner that is laughing, right? All of them do, right?
So you can make fun of me too if you want.
I'm not going to. All right, so. You know, here we are. All right. So this segment, I'm sorry, I didn't do my normal segue in. So this is a segment where we do, you know, fun facts. Sometimes we do the crowd favorite dad jokes. Today we're doing Jeopardy. Now, we are recording this in, you know, mid-March, but when this airs, it's going to be, we'll say mid to late April. Right around the corner is Earth Day. So today's Jeopardy is going to be focused on Earth Day. Now, fun fact, the twins, my twins, were born on Earth Day.
Oh.
Now that doesn't mean I know anything about Earth Day, but it's just a little fun fact. They were born on Earth Day. So
my birthday is somewhere around Earth Day each year, too. So
somewhere around. So, all right. So yeah. An April birthday. OK.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pay attention to LinkedIn when it says it's Chris Kelly's birthday. Right.
And everyone really should pay attention to my birthday.
Everyone should. Right. All right. So
of course.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Now, as I always do, I'll explain the Jeopardy to everybody. Now, so on my screen currently is a standard Jeopardy board. It has five categories. And the categories have points ranging anywhere from 100 to 500. For the sake of this game, Chris, you're team one, Justin's team two.
Okay.
Now, again, I say this every single time we play Jeopardy. You do not have to say who is, what is, et cetera. Okay. If you pick a question, it's your question to answer, right? You know, if you answer incorrectly, you know, I may give Justin or you an opportunity to kind of steal, but keep in mind, if you steal, you do, and you get it wrong, you lose points. But if you get it right, you get points. All right. So standard Jeopardy, Earth Day Jeopardy. The categories are water cycles, or just water cycle. There's no S at the end. Water cycle, the three R's, plants, global warming. Ooh, that's going to be a controversial one. And landfills. Okay, so Chris, you are our guest, so you get to go first. Again, water cycles, the three R's, plants, global warming, landfills, 100 to 500. Chris, go.
Okay. Well, I'm going to explore a little bit. I think I can guess a one R, but to learn more about the three R's category, I'm going to go just the three R's for 100. Let's warm up a little.
I like this strategy.
Okay.
I like this strategy. I love starting off easy and then going big. All right. So the three R's for 100. Name one of the three R's. Just name one. Just name one of them. Name one of the three R's.
I think now I know. So one of the three R's is reduce.
Okay. So.
Oh, that's where that was going.
I think that's where it's going.
Okay. Reduce. I haven't changed it. I haven't changed it yet, but reduce, reuse, recycle, right? So I'm going to say reduce. All right. So the correct answer is reduce, reuse, and recycle. So Chris, congratulations. You got 100 points. Awesome. Well done. Well done.
All right.
All right. So Justin.
Yeah.
Beat that.
I'm glad she got that one because I didn't know where three R's were going.
All right, so Justin.
Oh, I hate science.
Turn.
We're gonna go with water cycle for 100.
Okay, well, are you sure about this?
No.
Okay. The water cycle for 100. Name one part of the water cycle.
Evaporation.
Evaporation. Okay.
I think.
Chris, just in case, do you want to steal? I'm joking. All right. So name one part of the water cycles. You say evaporation.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Parts of the water cycle are evaporation, condensation,
two of them,
precipitation, runoff, and et cetera.
And et cetera.
So technically, any answer I would have given would have been correct then, right?
Because it could have fallen to the et cetera.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, but you guessed evaporation. Congratulations, Justin. You get 100 points. Woo. All right. So Chris Cully.
All right, let's ramp it up a little bit.
All right, let's do it. 500?
Let's do plants for 500.
Plants for 500. Blech. Now, fair warning, I'm going to give you one opportunity to change. I haven't clicked on it yet.
Oh.
They're all really hard.
Sometimes, now, actually, no, the last time we played Jeopardy, one of the 500s was so easy. I was disappointed how easy it was. But normally, these Jeopardy questions
are pretty hard,
especially at 500, are impossible. But I'm gonna give you one out, just one out. Do you want to stick with plants for 500?
Let's go plants for 300 because it's right in the middle
of the road. I love it. Yeah. Plants for 300. All right.
Okay.
Why are trees important?
I would say trees are important because they absorb carbon dioxide and give off oxygen.
Okay. Carbon dioxide, give off oxygen. The correct answer is trees are important because they give off oxygen, give animals homes, et cetera.
Jeez.
Oh, why? So
I get points for that though, right?
100%. Congratulations, Chris. Awesome. All right. So you're currently in the lead. Justin, your turn.
I have an et cetera in the answer. I'm going global warming for 400.
Global warming for 400. What is causing the deterioration of the ozone layer?
Hold on.
Podcasts?
Can pollution.
Podcasts. A lot of hot air just being flown up. There you go.
Yeah. Just, air. Oh, that's what it is. Air pollution.
Just going to say just in general.
Air pollution.
Why not just answer with et cetera?
Et cetera.
There you go. All right. So the correct answer is pollution.
Yes. Nicely done.
Pollution, etc. So bad. Why, etc. All right. So last round. Oh, Chris Cully, last round.
All right. I'm going to say et cetera, but I think we need to explore landfills a little bit. So let's just go landfills for 500. I know you're warning me against, those.
No, it's fine. Questions. No, I like it. Go big or go home. And just so everyone knows, Justin is currently in the lead with 500. Chris Cully currently has 400. Not for long.
Not for long.
All right. So landfills for 500. What is the most common thing in landfills?
Boom. Are you serious?
Oh, I think I know this one.
Plastic.
Plastic. Okay.
We're going with plastic.
Plastic. The correct answer is baby diapers.
Ooh, they're kind of made of plastic. Yeah.
I don't think I get that. I'm sorry. I feel bad. All right. Sorry, Chris. I have to deduct points. I actually was going to say Q-tips.
I was going to say trash.
Et cetera. Trash, et cetera. Okay. All right, Justin, your final question.
I'm going to go with water cycle for 500.
Okay, I point out that no matter what, even if you get this wrong, the win is yours.
Yeah.
Unless you give Chris the opportunity to steal.
It's also possible. Sorry, you said water cycle 500?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. What is condensation?
All right, so it is sweating.
Sweating?
I don't know how to explain it. It's when a bottle sweats because it's humid outside.
All right, Chris, opportunity to steal.
Trying to think. So I've got a kid who's a scientist. I'm trying to think of how he would explain it. So it's when the water vapor in the air turns back into liquid. How about that?
Okay. That was a more technical answer. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. See, I like how your son's a scientist and my son's in third grade and you gave a better answer.
All right, Justin, what was your answer one more time?
That's when a bottle sweats.
Just when a bottle sweats. All right, I love it. Correct answer is condensation is the change from water vapor to liquid water. Chris Cully Googled this and she 100% got it on the nose. Justin, I'm sorry.
But isn't mine technically right,
no,
too?
Nope. Chris, Justin, you were down to zero. Chris Cully, you
not
win with
not nearly as right as mine, Justin.
That's right. Not even close. I'm sorry.
But when your Coke bottle sweats, it's called condensation.
It is condensation. And diapers are made out of plastic. So, you know,
I guess. I guess the elastic inside, like, you know, the waistbands and the legs, plastic. Sorry. Yeah, Chris, no matter what, regardless, even though I deducted points for that one, you still win with 400.
I still win.
Still win. Congratulations.
Hooray.
Congratulations.
But unfortunately, you don't get anything. Maybe we'll send you an Acuma mug, but you are winner of Earth Day Jeopardy 2024. Congratulations.
Well, and I have a fun fact for you. So we're recording this, and I understand it's audio only, but we actually are on, a video Zoom call. And did you know that video calls, conference calls, have a huge carbon footprint? So if you do your calls without the video, you reduce your carbon footprint by 96%.
You really?
There you go. Because data processing uses a lot of electricity, which, you know, affects your carbon footprint. So next time you turn off your camera, you can tell that you're, you know, helping the planet. So there you go.
That's actually very cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, but it makes a lot of sense, right? Because, I mean, you see stories about, I know we're going off topic, right? But you like these... I don't do crypto, but you see stories about like how someone's like crypto mining or Bitcoin mining, and like you go to like these data processing centers and they're pretty much barns full of servers.
Yeah.
And they have to wear like polar, the Canadian goose coats going inside of it.
Because they have to keep it so cold. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really think about how much energy. What does that hole over the ozone layer really look like right above those plants? Anyways, that's interesting. All right, so no more webinars. We're doing all audio.
Yeah.
We're canceling webinars for the rest of 2024. Chris Cully said so. All right. Chris, thank you so much for kind of, again, I've already said thank you a lot, but again, thank you for being here. Thank you for everything you do for our members, our academic community, but also our industry. Again, really, I was really thrilled that you agreed to join us on our podcast here today. So again, thank you. Always enjoy talking to you.
Thanks so much. And I look forward to many more years of collaboration. So
of course, absolutely, absolutely. And Justin, thank you very much for of course always being here.
Of course. Thank you.
My pleasure. And everyone else, to kind of just close out, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. We understand that your time is valuable. And again, we're very appreciative that you spend a little time with us, I'll say a couple times a month. Be on the latest and greatest coming out of ACMA. Check out ACMA.org for all the news and updates Other than that, we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time at the Acuma On Point podcast. If not already, be sure to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. For more great episodes and information, be sure to visit us online at acuma.org. And to get the latest updates, head over to our LinkedIn page.